Tonight, we're gonna give it all to you, because podcasting audience, we were made to podcast to you.
Tom, attack.
Have an audience,
made for podcasting, Thomas. You were made for
podcasting. We've got the title to this week's podcast.
What? That neither of us can do a good Kiss impression.
There's the reason we're talking about Kiss. We'll come to that later.
There is. It's a circus that's of a slightly
psychotic nature.
Yes, indeed. Right.
Have you been? I haven't seen, again, similar to last time we podcast, I haven't seen Matthew for a while. He's off jet-setting around the world.
Not jet-set radioing, unfortunately, though.
No.
I would have liked to do a
keep
bit of that.
Keep bringing it back to the video game.
Keep bringing it back. Got him up my sleeve, Thomas. What's he going to pull out next? Oh, it's Quicks.
So what? Why were you not here?
Explain
to our audience.
First of all, Thomas, my parents were here. Visiting us in the lovely, lovely suburb of Europe that is Denmark. So I was taking those around. And then I went off to Hungary and then to Vienna, which I'll talk about later on the podcast. So I've been seeing a bit of Europe
week. You know where I've been?
Where?
Here.
In the shack.
In
all
the
alone.
Shack. Looking after the shack. Keeping the shack safe.
Was it a love shack or was it a forever shack?
Nah, it was, yeah.
Wow. Got any chairs at least? We're sitting on comfortable chairs up in our cabin in the woods.
Yeah, we are actually. So we our chairs and around our dining room table weren't very stable, so
they were not.
Went out and got some more chairs.
You couldn't tell, but if this was a visual medium, you would have seen us kind of rocking back and forth as if we were on an old-timey ship when we recorded this podcast. But now we're on good, sturdy Danish-made chairs, I presume.
Yeah, very cheap chairs, actually. 140 kroner Danish deal of the week. 140 kroner for four sturdy wooden chairs.
Just like this podcast, with four legs on the ground, ready
actually,
to kick it.
There are four legs on the ground.
There are.
Two are yours, two are mine.
Hey.
Hey, so what have you been playing
oh,
this
good
week?
God.
Have you been playing anything when you've been so busy?
I have, actually.
Portable consoles? Or?
My 3DS has been my friend this past week. It's been good. I've been cracking into, as I previously mentioned, last week's podcast. I bought it before I went to Prague, and then I didn't get really a chance to play it. I've been playing a Super Paper Mario Sticker Star on the 3DS.
Which is a great bargain. Bilka, Denmark, if you live
it
in
is.
The country. 100 kroner?
It is indeed. Brand new. Go and get it. I recommend.
At
wow.
the moment, I'll just say that Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D is only 200 kroner at Bilka.
Oh, really?
Bargain.
Are you eyeing it up, waiting for the price to go down that little bit more?
I may buy it for my girlfriend, because she's keen.
Ooh.
She's keen.
Okay, fair enough. Is it going to be a Rayman situation where you buy it on a portable console and then never touch your Wii version again? Silence.
No.
I'll take that as a yes.
No, in terms of, you're talking about Legends, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, but I've never played the Wii version I bought off you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, never mind. It'll sit there. You'll play it eventually. You've got a game pad.
I will. When I
you
finish the Vita version, I'll probably go back to it. I love the Rayman game, so yeah, definitely. Sorry. Sticker Star story.
It's pretty good. I really, really, really got into it the first couple of hours. I was about 6 hours in, and essentially they've taken away all the leveling mechanics and stuff that have been in the previous Paper Mario games I played, i.e. the N64 one, and obviously I played Six Golden Coins, the Game Boy version. Oh, I forgot.
What are you thinking?
I can't remember the name of the original Super Mario RPG on the
Super
Nintendo.
Oh, it's called Super Mario RPG, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's got a subtitle. I can't remember it. Anyways, I've played that and I played Paper Mario on the N64, which I both really liked. And This one's kind of done away with most of the RPG mechanics, which is why I said to you earlier in the week when I saw you in a fleeting moment that you should probably check it out, because it's kind of fun, because it's level-based, as in there is a world one that has a level and you kind of just got to get to the end.
Is it platforming gaming or not?
It is platforming gaming, but then it's got a combat system that's very much like the Mario and Luigi games, but it's not as clunky because you use stickers, which are kind of like spells, but you collect them through the level and you can buy them.
A friend of ours says anything like Little Big Planet in terms of stickers.
No, not placing stickers anything like Little Big Planet. There are stickers stuck to walls. There is like puzzles that require you sticking your stickers to items to open doors, for example, but nothing too Little Big Planet-y in the terms of customization of the levels or anything. You use your stickers, like I said, as your weapons in combat.
Okay. Stick to your guns.
Yeah, stick to your guns. No guns, just hammers and boots, your Mario. It's good. Like, I was really on 100 board.
100 krona good.
Yes, definitely. More than 100 krona good, to be honest. I was really into it, and then I got to the end of World 2, and then there seems to be a really tedious, hey, you should really replay these levels mechanic going on, which is what I was kind of praising the game on, that there was no grinding and there was no backtracking.
Mm.
And then suddenly you come up against, there are areas of the world that have been torn up and folded into scrumpled balls of paper called scraps, which you then collect to progress through levels. And there are desert levels in World 2. And essentially you've got to kind of, they've all got a secret exit out of them and they have a treasure on them. And I can't for the life of me find the third one of them, and there's no inclination of where I'm supposed to go. You
and
can
if
click.
Matt can't find it?
Oh no, it's just annoying, it's just tedious. Like, I've tried to go through this level, there's one level that's got multiple exits and stuff, and I just don't want the hassle of like going through every single route of this level to try and find it, because if you take one wrong turn then you have to start again. It just feels really tedious, and it feels really against the core principles that the rest of the game has kind of set aside of like, hey, you don't have to worry about levels, you find more health for Mario as you go along, you find your stickers and stuff, so there's no need to grind and learn spells and things. And it really seems like a counterpoint in the game. It's a bit sad, really, because it was really fun up until there. But I'm sure there's probably an obvious thing. I was playing it on a plane this morning and when I ran up to this obstacle and I was very tired, so maybe I'll give it a look later and see if I can figure out what I'm supposed to do.
I'm at a point in Yoshi's Island 2 on the DS where I don't know what to do whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ruined it now. I don't know what to do. I haven't played it since. I couldn't work it out. I tried a whole bus journey, a whole hour's
I
bus
tried.
Journey.
I, was I like, couldn't figure out.
Yeah. Internet, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, who wants to go on game FAQs? That takes the fun out of playing it, surely.
Yeah. Ah, well.
Yeah, well, I guess you get to complete it at the end of the day. And I.
But it makes you stop playing it. That's the problem, isn't it? It'd be nice if it just wasn't that interruption in your enjoyment.
Yeah, it does. Well, obviously it takes you out of the experience, but it's got that horrible thing as well, which I hated and kind of touched upon in the infamous review I posted, the Blast Process. Of it makes you feel like you're wasting your time, which is something to me a good game should never do.
No.
It should be fun and it should waste time, obviously, but not make you very much aware of the fact that you're backtracking and doing these things that waste time. Which is why I imagine you hate JRPGs.
Hate's a strong word.
But you really, really, really don't like them. That's a reference to some song I've forgotten. Anyways, what have you been playing? Your games are far and few on the ground.
A game which is, I can't find fault with. Rayman Origins, I played again for an hour this morning. I nearly finished it. I did a very cool boss where I went inside its stomach. It had heartburn and you had to run around its stomach avoiding flames. And
really?
Yeah, it's so cool, that game. I mean, I know this is an older game and I always mention the podcast. It's the one I keep going back to. But how I play games is I don't sit and play them for hours. I do like about an hour every weekend. So my progression, if you've noticed on these podcasts, is always very slow. I'm savouring the game because it's that's the game which never gets you that point where you have to stop.
No, I feel like that with the Rayman
you
games.
Just kind of, it just sort of flows. It's not a jarring experience.
I always felt that way with Rayman, though. Like, I've not played 2 or 3, any of the 3D ones. Like, I always remember feeling like that with the PlayStation 1. I would play it until I died, essentially. Like, until there was no point where I could continue.
Play it for half an hour, and I couldn't stop. I played for an hour.
Oh, wow. All extra 30 minutes, eh, Tom? Steady on, boy.
The end of the world. I did a world this morning on it. Very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun indeed. I had to replay a lot of sections, which are quite frustrating. It's a real challenge near the end of the game.
Yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, we kind of touched upon this earlier, and this idea of wasting
again,
time.
Though.
But if it's a challenge, if you know you're doing something wrong, I think that is the
crux
of it.
I know what to do. That's the thing, isn't it? I'm just not good enough to do it yet until I try again. I was actually feeling this morning like, I don't think I'm very good at video games in general, I was thinking, because I was having to replay this one area again and again and again, and really, I think it should have been quite simple.
You think?
But I was having immense difficulty with it. And I often have this feeling when playing video games. I think maybe because I don't play as much nowadays.
Perhaps.
I may be not as good as I once was.
I've noticed sometimes, like, I hate doing it because I really don't like backseat gaming, that if you're playing something, I'll kind of clock what to do quicker than you.
I'm slower at working out what to do in video games. I really am.
Yeah.
I a lot of the time this last week when I've come home from work, you know, I haven't wanted to play video games because I really feel them an effort at times.
Sometimes I do too. Yeah. I mean,
depends what it is. So, but I'm totally off the idea of buying adventure games now.
Really?
Yeah. I always at home when comfortable with a platformer.
What do you mean by adventure games, though?
I mean like a big sprawling kind of. I mean, let me give an example. Something like even Ninja Gaiden Yaiba. I haven't felt like playing at all. I know that's more of a hack and slash, but
yeah.
Maybe that's not the best example. But anything like, I tried playing Nier the other week, didn't I?
Yeah.
When I was ill.
But you enjoyed that experience though when you were playing it,
I did. But I always feel those sort of games are a massive sort of undertaking.
There is a dauntingness to them, right? I mean, like, you play something that's got a long clock time on it. I mean, especially for me, like, I play JRPGs, and anytime I start playing one, I'm like, do I really want to start playing this? Because it's going to be 30, 40 hours plus. But I can see what you mean, like.
And sometimes they're broken up with a lot of like cutscenes and such. And
yeah, that's what you don't like, though, do you? Hate story. And
I sit down to play a video game, I want to play a game, and I don't want that to be interrupted by anything. I just want to go through it. Like Rayman, it just flows. There's no like setup.
Yeah.
Well, there is, but it's so quick.
And
you forget about it.
In the cartoony style, in the engine and stuff, so it doesn't like take a few seconds to load a cutscene.
Yeah. I just find it very jarring to have to stop playing and sit down. Now I'm watching a film. Okay. Now I'm playing a game. Now I'm playing a game. It doesn't sit well with me.
I guess it's kind of what you grew up playing though, right? Because I mean, like, I'm used to reading barrels and barrels of text. So that to me is playing a game on some parts. So, and I mean, I grew up playing games like Final Fantasy, which in like 7, 8, and 9, they kind of reward you with a cutscene, and you kind of feel like, yeah, I get a cutscene now. Cool, I get to see everything.
I can agree with that with Final Fantasy because the nature of the game is more slow and methodical.
Yeah.
A game like, I was playing Kim Possible, What's the Switch earlier.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't pick at that for cutscenes because they're quite quick, but still, you know, comparing it to Rayman, I could have done without, you know, everything stopping for a moment and them having to explain something. It's not really a major problem in that game, I don't think, because it's very quick. But there are other games where there was a lot more kind of exploration of the story in between. And for a platform game, at least. Should I talk about Kim Possible?
Yeah, go for it.
Just to kick that in the bum for a while, because we could go on about that for a while. Kim Possible was pretty good. This is a PS2 game. It's a platform game. And I heard a lot of good things about it. And it turns out, the comparison I think I could make with it is Ninja Gaiden on the NES. That's the closest comparison to the way it plays. There's a lot of wall jumping. That's one of the key mechanics you're introduced at the beginning. The items you collect are circular, reminding me of some of the power up icons you collect in Ninja Gaiden. I don't know. It's kind of a slower platformer where you fight enemies and jump off walls.
Yeah.
Ninja Gaiden. It's not as hard as Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, of course not.
You also have a grappling hook in one bit, which is very cool. The animation's really fluid. And talking about the cutscenes, the animation in the cutscenes is exceptionally fluid and very nice. I didn't think it didn't make me go, wow, this is the world's most amazing game.
It sounds very interesting.
But
though,
it made me think this is a very well-made game. I don't think the level design was particularly inspired, but it was fine. It was good. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. It's not in Leagues of Rayman Origins.
I guess you're setting the bar very high there with Rayman Origins. Though,
it's funny, though, to think now this game features among like top 10 PS2 platformers, and then perhaps that is true.
Probably
for a
PS2
platform game.
It is the pinnacle of a
PS2 platform, a 2D one at least. Then it's very good if you pair it with stuff that's come after. Then maybe not so.
Well, of course not. I mean, like, obviously, the PS2 is limited in what it can do. I mean,
the game design, I think, changes and evolves over the years as well. No way would we have had a game like Rayman Origins back on the Super Nintendo, perhaps.
Yeah. But it's interesting because, like, we've talked about this before on the podcast and, like, the new Super Mario Brothers on the DS and how that kind of changed the game. I recently bought, as I talked about last week's podcast, a DS, which I gave to my girlfriend. I bought Frozen Olaf's Quest.
Have you played it?
I have.
Yeah.
It's very simplistic. It's okay. It's not a bad platformer, but the levels are very short. They're very aimed at picking up and playing it and kind of just doing it very fast. 60 levels. My girlfriend completed it in a couple of sit-ins, but she enjoyed it while she was playing it, and it was
good,
very
simple fun.
Honestly, if you got kids, girls especially, who are into Frozen, I think you
didn't
should
do anything especially wrong.
No, it doesn't, and it's not too difficult. So there were a few things where she was just like, I can't get this flower because you collect flower things to get costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was okay. Like, it didn't really do anything wrong. Like, it was an okay game.
Would you compare? Is it comparable to old Game Boy platformers then?
No,
different breed.
Different breed. It's very. It kind of feels more. I think it is also available on iOS. It's more kind of like an app experience for a platform, with a very quick levels. Like they take a couple of minutes at the most to complete, and there's not many enemies. It's more about you jumping over things and avoiding obstacles rather than collecting power ups.
Sprite based or 3D?
3D.
Rendered, yeah.
3D renders. The environments are nice. It's got the...
But 2D gameplay.
Yes, 2D gameplay. But the very nice music of the Frozen movie.
In a digitized form,
which sounds very nice, and it's very soothing while playing the game. But anyways, I digress. After she'd completed that, she started playing New Super Mario Brothers, which I'd also given her, as well as Lego the Lord of the Rings. Lego the Lord of the Rings.
Ba-bum. New Super Mario Brothers 1 or 2?
One.
Ah, yeah, she's got a DS. Yeah.
And she started playing it, and she likes it, obviously. She had a Nintendo as a kid, so she's very familiar with the Mario formula. Mm. I picked it up because she couldn't do one or two of the levels, and it's kind of not as good as I remember it.
Really?
Like, I know that's a horrible thing to say, but
I've completed it, I think. Yeah,
I completed it when it came out, and I remember enjoying it immensely. Mm. But as you say, like, game design has progressed so much. Mario doesn't feel right.
No.
Mario feels very floaty.
Okay.
Like, he's got weight to him, but not in the same way you'd expect from a Mario game.
Do you feel that's the case in more recent New Super Mario Bros.
I think in more recent games, especially, like...
The Wii one.
I kind of had a bit off on the Wii U version, but not as much as this. Like, he feels very light and very floaty. Mm. So much so that, you know, when I pick up a Mario game, it's almost muscle memory. Like, I can see the angles Mario's supposed to jump.
You notice these things, don't you? When you're used to controlling a certain way. It's like Sonic when they released the Sonic 4 Episode 1.
Yeah.
And totally screwed with how Sonic controlled.
He jumps too far. Like, he's very light on his feet.
Hmm.
And as a result of it, like, a few really easy platforms or a few really easy enemies I ended up hitting or dying like completely because I accidentally jumped a little too far.
Readjust to
you do, and like it wasn't that easy for me picking it up and playing it. I mean, especially when you compare it to the one on the 3DS, for example, the new Super Mario Bros. On there, it felt totally different, especially towards the Wii and the Wii U versions. He feels weighty, like it's got the Nintendo Mario formula down of being able to play a Mario game and it being a tight platform experience and stuff, but he just feels off. I don't know if it's just me playing it. I want you to play it and see what you think.
I will, I'll give that a shot.
But it felt very strange. I don't know if it's because more recent Mario games have kind of adjusted Mario maybe, but I played through, obviously, like Super Mario 1, 2 and 3 in the Game Boy games recently when I was doing the Super Mario thing, and I didn't notice a difference there.
I think it'd be interesting to go back and play that one now, especially since there's been so many kind of sequels to it released over the years.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people complain about that new Super Mario Bros. Franchise because they don't feel like a lot's changed from game to game. But maybe if you go back to that one, you can actually see that there have been certain improvements.
But I remember it being mind-blowing at the time. I remember it coming out and just being like, yes,
but now
it's so a new
used
Mario
to the
game.
Quality of
but
the
I,
new
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, the new ones have so surpassed it that it feels really inferior to me, at least. Yeah.
I'll give
it's
it a shot.
It's a shame. Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Other than that, what have I played? No, I think that's pretty much it. I've bought a few titles, but have you played anything else yourself?
I have actually. I downloaded this Soul Calibur Lost Swords thing, this free to play Soul Calibur for PlayStation 3.
Right. The words free to play. Free to pray.
free you
to
are free
pray.
To pray.
I am because
to.
It scares me.
You might want to pray for an end to the long loading times on this one. They kind of ruin the experience. There's a lot of waiting around, even just not just to get to the actual fights, but get through menus. You know,
can you pay like £1 for faster load times?
I probably. I'm not actually sure how this whole payment thing works. It's something like AP, and you have to wait a certain amount of time before you get more AP. I presume that's the currency for
the game,
game and playtime. But I haven't played enough to notice that yet.
Because the load time kind of offsets the need for it.
It feels like that. From the start, you get a choice of like three characters. None of these characters have their original costumes. They're kind of in their underwear.
Yeah. So which characters are they?
There's Sofitia, Mitsurugi, and someone else, I feel. Siegfried, I think. Yeah. I can't remember.
I'd imagine Siegfried.
But the original thing that attracted me to this game, I wasn't going to bother with it because I play Soul Calibur 5 regularly. I thought this would just be a stripped-down version of that. It's not, actually. They've tried something quite different with it. And also, Taki was going to be a character.
You said,
Did I say that?
You said it on last week's podcast.
Oh, right,
I think
that's
why you were interested in
it. Yeah, but Taki's not available from the start. I don't know if you have to purchase her.
I would imagine that's probably the case,
right?
It
seems so. So this was new, exciting Soul Calibur content. Also, the gameplay's been mixed up a little bit as well. It's like you go on a quest. There's sort of straight a little story about collecting swords. And you can craft your weapons as well.
Okay.
You win jewels and things, and you can give your weapons new attributes, and it changes their appearance and
so
things.
So kind of
like
the Tekken Cross Street Fighter.
Yeah, the gems thing. Also, you collect the costumes as you go, items of clothing as you go through as well. There's also this kind of elemental element to it, where you've got fire and water attacks and grass attacks, and it works in a similar way to Pokemon. Like fire strong against grass.
Yeah, okay, that
like
seems
that.
A bit too complicated.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessary, but you find if you press triangle, you'll do your fire move, and if you're fighting like the grass guy, it's going to do more damage on him. There's some easier specials worked in there as well. You have a special bar, you work it up to one, and you can use press R1 to do a special. It's the same kind of gameplay you'd be familiar with the Soul Calibur. It's fast paced, it's really fun. These new things add something to it,
I guess it adds more skill and like the idea of like, okay, I know this person's this, so I can do this.
It's nice, it's not just Soul Calibur 5 stripped down, free to play.
that
they've tried to do something different, which warrants you actually going out and having a go with it, if you can get past, I say, the frequent and frustrating load times. Also, this thing where you can make friends through it, through where you get ally requests.
Okay.
When you set out on your quest, you team up with someone else. I'm not sure how that works, actually, because they don't control their character. You control their character.
Okay.
You can build it, where you're fighting, build up a bar. When you get it to full, you can bring in the other character, like a tag team sort of thing. But it actually, the other character is someone else's character with their stats.
Okay.
So it's like you can collect
characters. What that's doing. It's kind of doing a Farmville mechanic then of like, you play with their character, they play with yours, yeah. And then you get XP and this kind of stuff. Yeah. It's kind of like raising a friend's character
for
them. Yeah,
it's kind of like you've got your own Pokemon and yeah. You're raising them. Yeah.
Does that work in kind of like, was it Forza where you had like the drive, like the car garage thing where you kind of teamed up with other people and then you had a selection of cars? Was that Forza or was that?
You can do that in
Forza.
You can share garages. You know, you make a garage and you can upload your cars to that garage and other people can use those cars and such. And I'd never really got into that side of it. But
yeah, but does that add anything to it? Like, if they drive with your car, will it get more experience?
I don't know.
Something?
I don't know.
Can you tune it better?
Is or not. It's a good idea.
It probably is. It's probably implemented. Like I said, it's very popular in social games like Facebook things, like Farmville and things, where it's a. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, but you're still playing it for longer because you can't do all the things that you need to do, like watering your crops and stuff, because it takes 6 hours for your plants to grow. So why not spend more time doing other people's things, and then they'll do it for you.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that seems quite expensive to buy in the shop. I've seen prices of a chest of different items will cost you £11.99, you know. Which seems like a lot of money for what appear to be like 5 new items in games. So I think if you really want to get into the game and
it's
get the most out of
lot.
It really is going to cost you. I think on its most basic level, you're not going to get much out of it unless you put it in. You put the money in.
How are characters? Do they do it so every character is the same price? Have you seen the price of characters?
I can't even find where you purchase characters yet.
That's a bit of a shame.
It's all a bit of a mess to me at the minute. I can't quite work out exactly how you purchase specific things. It's things like chests, which you buy and you get random items out of them.
Maybe it's kind of like Killer Instinct on the Xbox One, where they're releasing characters in kind of waves.
Perhaps, because if you go in the PlayStation Store now and search for Calibur Lost Swords, I couldn't find any extra downloadable content purchasable through the store.
Okay.
I don't know if you have to go in through the game to get it, but I couldn't
I would
see
assume
a place
so.
Where...
I would imagine they'd want most of that done in-game rather than playing.
But then when you have to negotiate those menus with those load times, it's
very
an awkward
frustrating
experience. Yeah,
that sucks.
So it's hit and miss with that one. It's got some nice ideas, but it's also falls short in several areas.
Yeah, with the characters though, I hope they don't do it in the way that Blizzard are currently doing it in their I've forgotten what you call the type of game, like League of Legends.
I'm not sure.
But essentially whatever Blizzard's answer to League of Legends or Dota is, they're doing where you pay more money for the more popular characters, and I know that's the case in the Marvel MMO, that you can pay more to be Iron Man than say Hawkeye.
Yeah,
and the characters are kind of like priced according to their popularity. So obviously everyone wants to be Deadpool and Iron Man. So of course they're going to pay $25 rather than the $5 the thing costs. So I hope they don't do that in there. How would you compare it to Dead or Alive and Tekken?
They're more straightforward experiences. I've actually not played, well, I'm guessing Dead or Alive is. I've not played that one.
Yeah.
But I've played the Tekken, whatever it was called.
Yeah, I can't remember. You really enjoyed Tekken, though, from what I remember.
You
played it a few times.
Yeah, I mean, I think for those who don't own those recent Tekken game, the free-to-play Tekken is pretty good. I mean, I got a lot of playtime out of it.
You did. I remember you playing it quite frequently.
I think the idea was, you know, you weren't really allowed to play for that long, but I got a lot of play out of it.
Yeah.
So at its most basic level, without actually putting any money in. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, there you go. They're my thoughts on Soul Calibur Lost Swords.
Fair dues.
If you're a Soul Calibur fan, maybe it's worth checking out. But I think I'd just advise you to buy Soul Calibur 5. It's rather affordable now.
And
if you want to get into Soul Calibur.
Same, I guess. Maybe I'll play it. Maybe we'll do a TMA quickie and have a look at it.
It won't be a quickie. Unless really. We have to edit the load
times. I guess we'll edit the load times out just for the sake of posterity. So what have you been buying? Anything other than what I purchased for you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I don't think I've been meaning to pre-order Mario Kart 8, but I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
You seen a new deal?
£199 with Mario Kart at Tesco?
Oh, no. I was, oh, that's very good.
It is.
But I was thinking about the buy Mario Kart, register your game online within a month, and you get a free Wii U game.
Oh, really?
From the best titles. I think you own them all.
Probably but,
Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, Sonic Lost World, New Super Mario Brothers Wii U. Yeah, and the list goes on. What Game & Wario, yeah.
I guess I'll get Sonic Lost World for free.
There may be another one you might be interested in. I can't remember the full list. But I thought it was a pretty cool offer.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, really. I like when Nintendo do these things. I guess I'm going to have to pre-order it from Amazon then, rather than buying it here. It's a bit of a shame. I guess Austin, our friend, will buy it here and we can play it that weekend. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, but other than that, I actually don't think I bought anything. I had a look on the old PlayStation store and see a few things that interested me. A few sale items at the minute. Some extra downloadable content for Force Unleashed 2, actually, that I hadn't tried. The Hoth pack, the Tatooine pack.
Yeah.
They're all very cheap. I enjoyed the Endor add-on for that and played through that and enjoyed it. So I may pick one or two of them up. Of course, Trad of Light was released this last week.
It was.
And it looks lovely. But again, I don't know if it's the kind of game I'd have the patience for.
Waiting for my copy to arrive. Yeah. Ooh, actually,
check it out.
The parcel that is currently on our dining room table, I was hoping was Child of Light.
But the thing is, it's Ubisoft. It's going to be good.
It's by Ubisoft Montreal. Yeah. It's by the people that make Rayman Legends. Not only is it a beautiful game, but it's essentially a Japanese turn-based role-playing game, which makes me want to play it tenfold.
It's weird. I saw a video for it on the Wii U, actually, in a trailer, and it didn't show any of the turn-based battling
really
at all. It just showed what looked like puzzle elements. It looked like a platform puzzle game.
It's essentially what it is, right? And then it's just got the JRPG things kind of tacked into it.
I'm interested. I'm interested to check it out, but I'm not convinced to buy it yet.
I will have it anyways. I was actually going to text you from my trip to Vienna to see if you'd bought a short piece, because I was tempted to pick that up while I was there.
I'm intrigued in that as well, with the anime movies and then the arcade style game with it as well. But it's an expensive game at the moment, and it's... I haven't picked that up, and I haven't picked up JoJo for the same reason. It's expensive.
Saw that as well. I could have got it. My phone was dead.
£41 on Amazon.
It's €36. So close to 30.
I know. I think it's a good fighting game from what I played the demo, but I can't. £40. It's just too much for me to buy a game. I don't think I'm gonna play
that much. Oh, that's fair enough then, I guess. Yeah.
Even though it does look beautiful. And I think it's going to be a hidden gem for the system. I don't think... Maybe people are going to pick it up.
That's why I'm kind of tempted to tell you to get it.
Best looking things on the PS3, I think, in that sort of cel-shaded style.
Because I'm tempted to pick it up because I think it's going to be one of those games that's just going to skyrocket in price. I don't think it's really going to go down. I think maybe Xavi will have it 1 week and cheap.
That's how it always rolls with me, you know. A lot of these fighting games, as I'm a fan and a collector of fighting games, I'll buy as soon as they come out. I see them on Xavi.com a few weeks later
for cheaper,
for next to nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it won't with this. I guess it's probably a small run.
But Xavi aren't even selling JoJo at the moment.
Really? Yeah. Ah, maybe pick it up then. That's probably an inclination. There's not much of
it. It is a digital copy on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah, but do you want a digital copy? Exactly. I picked up a few things this week. I got, was it 4 PlayStation 2 games in that deal that we've talked about many a time in GameStop?
When I got Kim Possible.
You did. I went there after you'd said I bought a copy of Klonoa 2. I bought the Art of Fighting Anthology. I picked up Ratchet and Clank 2. And I can't remember what
Spyro.
Third game. Oh, yes, it was.
I checked the disc for Spyro.
Is it scratched to buggery?
I don't think it's going to work.
Okay, we'll give it a try.
It doesn't look good at all.
Spyro Dawn of the Dragon, right?
Yeah.
In all fairness, it's probably for the best. It doesn't look that great. But we'll give it a try.
Let's see if it works. 39 kroner for four PS2 games.
Exactly, and that was just kind of the extra one anyways. Yeah. I really went for Clone Over 2, which really does look a bit scratched. It does look a bit beat up, but I really like that game, so I hope it works. I then, like I said, I went to Budapest, and then from there I went to the city of Gyor, where my girlfriend's family lives. There is a great looking shop there called New Wave. Unfortunately, it was a Hungarian bank holiday, so it wasn't open.
Oh, but you were tearing your hair out.
I was looking in through the window like a child looking in at a sweet shop, and there was just so many good games.
Licking the window.
In a basket full of PS2 and PS1 games. There was lots of Wii games that were very reasonably priced, and I couldn't go in. Yeah, exactly. I'll be going back in September for a wedding, so I'll check it out next time. I looked then, there was two stores in the mall there. One called Media Mart, which is like a Currys or a Comet to you Danish people, kind of like an Elgiganten for the Danes.
Mm.
And they had a few things, but they were very expensive. It's much like a Currys or a Dixon's or a PC World. They're very overpriced for what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't buy anything there. I then went to a independent retailer there, which kind of felt a lot like a game, like in the way the store was set out, and I kind of knew as soon as I went in, things would be expensive.
Yeah,
they had a few good titles, though. They had like Xenoblade Chronicles for about 30 quid. They had a few other things that I kind of picked up, like Trials of the Sky, a factory sealed copy of that for the PSP for about 20 quid. If they were games I didn't already own, I would probably pick them up. But as I did, I was kind of like, oh, okay.
I find it's a lot now in shops.
Yeah.
I own everything I want.
Yeah, pretty much. There was nothing really retro in the shop. It was all very current. It kind of reminded me, to be honest, my first experience in Hong Kong when I was looking around there, that everything seemed to be, this is the latest thing. We don't have anything that's more than like a month or two old.
Mm.
Other than a few pre-owned titles. Like I said, Trials of the Sky was new as well. There was a few PSP games. Very little in the way of DS and 3DS in any shop I noticed in Hungary, other than New Wave, which seemed to be very nice for consoles.
Was there an equivalent? Was there tons of Vita games instead? Or
No, believe it or not. There were a few. I would say more than I've probably seen in Denmark, but not a lot. Actually, as well, in Budapest Airport, they were selling Vita games, but nothing else. So maybe in the heart of Eastern Europe, maybe it's a big thing. Who knows? If you listen and from there, let us know on our Twitter.
The Vita, interesting beast, isn't it?
It is.
Interesting beast.
So I went, apparently selling very, 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 very well in Japan at the moment.
Okay.
Like, it's skyrocketed and they can't keep the new Vita in stock anywhere because it's selling like hotcakes.
Mm.
Be interesting to see if that does the same thing in the West, if they can promote it as such. So then I went to Vienna.
Oh, Vienna.
I literally went around looking for a sign that said Vienna so I could take a picture in front of it and then put the caption, "It means nothing to me." Was there fuck? Everything's in German. Couldn't find one. Very disappointed. Never mind. Water under the bridge. Sorry to Midyear of Ultravox. But I looked around. Stop it. And it was very nice. There were a lot of places to buy games. I will actually be doing a little write-up for Blast Process.
No, really?
On Vienna as a city, because I think, to be honest, there were like 10, 15 stores I could find within a half an hour radius of where the train station was that sold games.
Mm.
I went in a few. There's one chain called Video Game Store, believe it or not. That seemed like a very prevalent thing. I didn't actually get a chance to go in one. We kind of passed one in going to the train. Seemed very reasonably priced. People in there, there seemed to be a lot of people in there rather than GameStop, which we also saw, where there was nobody in because it seemed very expensive. There was a book chain, which I believe was called Lambo, but I could be wrong there, which also had a very, very, very large selection of games, but they were all highly priced, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a chain that I'm familiar with and you may remember from our brief trip to Germany in Flensburg called Saturn, which is you bought your ALF DVDs. and that was good. They had a massive, massive selection of games, even some PS2 titles, like new ones. Do you know know FIFA 2014 got released on the PS2?
No.
Yeah, I was very interested to see
that.
Wow. Yeah, they're still making PS2 games, apparently. And, yeah, those were there. There were a lot of things like Black. They had Final Fantasy 12 sealed, which I was kind of tempted to pick up, but they were €20. So I was like, yeah. It's a bit on the steep side, but, you know, for Final Fantasy games keep their price anyway, so it's not really that much of an issue. They had a lot of stuff, like I said, Vita current things. They had, like, Hometown Story and some other obscure 3DS titles. I did look for Cave Story to see if I could find another copy of that to flip, but couldn't. And then I went to what I can kind of describe as probably one of the best retro gaming places I've ever been.
High praise.
In the museum district of Vienna, which is in the very heart of the town near Vienna's famous opera house and other landmarks.
Cultural.
There is a cultural center that is all museum, and it's very small kind of exhibit spaces owned by kind of small trendy places. And I think there's a few cultural significant things there as well. But, oh, there was actually, around the corner, I tell a lie, I'm saying there's independent things. There was actually like a Monet exhibition and stuff. So there was things for there for everyone. Went in a very nice cafe as well. So there's very good food there too, if you're looking for someone to eat in Vienna, if you're ever there. But I went in a store / museum called Subotron.
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 Is that like a mechanized Susan Boyle?
Perhaps. I guess more a homage to Robotron, perhaps.
Okay.
But I went in there, and the shop is only open from Wednesday to Saturday, so if you're in Vienna for the weekend, you can go there on Saturdays. It's open from 1 till 6, because I got there, and in horror, it was 12:45, and I thought it was already closed. Oh. Fortunately, it opens quite late. And they kind of had a bit of everything. They had some very, very cool stuff. A lot of it's not for sale, unfortunately. They had things like a Virtual Boy US kind of in-store display on display. They had many things like Game & Watches, a lot of carts for things like the Super Nintendo and the Game Boy for sale. Then a lot of like high-priced items like Super Nintendo games like Mega Man X3 and stuff in a box behind this glass case you could kind of look at and go, wow, isn't that really expensive? It's not for sale, though. Which is a bit of a shame. There was a Famicom that I kind of leapt at and was like, how much is it? And he was like, sorry, it's not for sale.
That's the owner's personal collection.
It is the owner's personal collection. Yeah. Essentially, the guy who founded Subotron just had this stuff. Like, he's very enthusiastic about games. I kind of chatted to him for a while. He seemed like a very nice guy. And he had a whole house full of these stuff. And essentially, he was just like, well, I may as well put it on display, let other people enjoy it kind of thing. Like, I can play it whenever the hell I want, so people can have a look at these things that they may never see or own again kind of thing.
Hmm.
And it was a lot of nice stuff. There was a lot of, like, retro merchandise, like T-shirts and things that were for sale that you could buy. Like I said, a lot of carts, a lot of games for various systems, such as the Dreamcast.
Oh, yes.
Which I purchased a game for young Thomas about.
Oh, and I was so excited about this.
You were.
Straight away when Matt told me not to purchase any Dreamcast games featuring rock bands.
Yeah.
That this was what he had picked up. And this is Kiss Psycho Circus, The Nightmare Child. A game, of course, my fondness for Kiss, I'd actually investigated and had a look on eBay for this game. And it was relatively expensive. And that kind of put me off buying it.
Yeah, it was, I think the cheapest I saw a copy on eBay when I was looking yesterday after I picked it up for the reasonable price of €5 was about 17, 18 quid.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is actually a bit of a bargain. And in looking at other prices of Game Boy games that I kind of wanted to pick up but didn't, I'm just kind of like, oh God, that's actually a really reasonably priced shop.
Mm. So,
do you want to read the wonderful blurb?
Four realms, four elders, one nightmare. Dum, dum. An unborn evil threatens to destroy the universe. Dum, dum. Enter the hellish world of the Psycho Circus, a demonic realm brimming with mystery and horror. Dum, you have dum. Been called upon to fight the hideous freaks of nature spawned dum, by this dum. Conception of unborn evil, the dum, nightmare child, whose arrival has perverted dum, the dum. Fabric of reality. Ooh-er. Transform yourself into one of four powerful Kiss elders. Call on a deadly arsenal of weapons to aid you in slaying the Nightmare Child's vile minions and battle through four heinous elemental realms to face the demon seed itself in the final nightmare realm. Now, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what would. That's based on a comic book series.
Yeah.
Where I think four ordinary guys get Kiss powers.
Essentially, this is what you told me, right? Like, you transform into Kiss.
And if I've seen here, the guy called Pablo Ramirez, age 21, his alter ego is the Star Bearer, Paul Stanley. I always thought it was Star Child.
Probably
is.
In
fact, it continues like that. Patrick Scott, he's the Beast King, Peter Chris, or Catman.
Yeah.
Andy Spades Chang, he's 33. His alter ego, Eagle, is Celestial, which is the spaceman, Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
And Gabriel Gordo, the only one that seems to be right here, the alter ego, the demon.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons.
Well, that's kind of interesting how Gene Simmons is very like, no, you're keeping my name. Because the others, like, they kind of seem like a more...
A cooler version of Catman. Beast King, certainly.
Yeah, Beast King. Like... Yeah, definitely.
Celestial. That's got a nice ring to it.
Well, Celestial, you know, it's kind
of... The Star Bearer. So, yeah, I've seen some footage of this game online. It was only released, to my knowledge, on the PC and the Dreamcast, which is quite an interesting fact in itself. Looks like a fun first-person shooter type title.
And unlike the Prince game you picked up, actually a game.
Oh, yeah, the Prince Interactive Experience.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet. But, yeah, we go. Kiss and thank you for that, Matt.
It's all right, mate. No problem.
Very appreciative. I enjoy having a go on that one.
I, on the other hand, picked up two titles. One for the Super Nintendo, which is very reasonably priced, as what I've seen it online. Actually, I'm not too sure. Maybe it is around the same price you should pay for it. But for a PAL copy, anyways, I've seen it cheaper on the US eBay. I bought Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures.
I love the cover on this.
I've heard that it's a very underrated game. And from what I've seen of it, it's kind of like an action-adventure game. Like platformer?
Yeah, like the Pac-Land.
Yeah, it's a kind of similar thing, but the sprite animation and stuff in it looks very nice.
We've got so many games we need to look at just lately. You know? Yeah. We've both been picking up games. A lot of these we haven't played yet.
No, this is true. I've been very excited about playing this one. Like I said, I saw it. I think I might have seen it on... is the guy Retro Jesus or
Metal Jesus?
Metal Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, I really like his video.
One of his... videos kind of saying, like, this is one of the most underrated games of the Super Nintendo. And so I picked it up. Very excited to play it. And then I got a new Game Boy title, which is DuckTales.
Woohoo!
Thank you. What can I say? It's DuckTales. Very good game. I'm looking forward to playing it.
What?
It's pretty much a NES port, essentially. Okay. I don't think it's, you know, obviously as... nice as the NES one, perhaps. Mm. Maybe the levels are a bit shorter, but it is the same look.
Very
and feel.
Current as well, DuckTales. And the recent remake has now had a physical release.
It has. I saw it in Germany, and then I saw it over here. And I was very interested. I actually nearly picked it up, to be honest. Yeah. Just because I saw it on the PS3, and I was like, wow, I bet that'll be obscure. / it's a physical copy. I've got it on the Wii U. Why not have it on the PS3 as well, with a nice manual and stuff?
You'd hope.
Yeah, you'd hope. It probably isn't. It's probably just a shell of a case with a DuckTales cover. But the artwork's really nice. It's the same artwork, actually, that's on the original NES game, right?
I don't know, actually.
I think
no,
so.
No, I don't think it's I've got DuckTales on the NES. It's different.
Really?
The cover is Scrooge McDuck with his cane. It's quite dark colours, isn't it?
Yeah.
The NES one was a lot more colourful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Still looked nice, though. Yeah, so I picked that up, and it kind of led me into thinking then on my way back, like, I'd been to Supertron, and it really reinvigorated kind of my passion for retro games, just seeing all these things, and there were a lot of things there, like, it was a boxed Odyssey console, and there was a Vectrex and stuff like that, and I just saw these things, and I was like, oh, this is, it kind of just lifted me up a little bit, and kind of where I was getting into a bit of a slump. With retro gaming, maybe, like, obviously I prefer it to more current consoles, but the pricing and stuff had kind of got me a bit down and things. I was like, well, what's the point? But then I thought, well, I may as well buy more retro games that I know I'm probably going to enjoy, rather than just paying 40, 50 quid for a JRPG that I'm going to play for 10 minutes and then it's going to get shelved.
Or never play.
Or never play, as in most of the cases. I'm looking at you, Tales of Graces F.
What are all those A wins with A?
Oh, the...
A Tinky Nonky.
Oh,
bonky.
God, I forgot what it's called.
Yeah, you've got like three of them.
Area Artona. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good game. Like, I've played the first one.
Okay.
And they're now available on the Vita, so I was kind of kicking myself a little bit. That's why I
you
haven't bought the fourth and fifth one.
One.
I didn't import one. I bought it in Denmark. I bought it.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
sorry.
Very cheap for the collector's edition.
I know
where
you got that from.
A whole 100 kroner, I think. So it's not too bad. Like, I haven't paid over the lines for any of them. Like, I've bought them all cheap.
Mm.
But, yeah, as I said, I'd rather get something that I can just pick up and play quite casually. And so I'm kind of going to curb buying just random titles now, other than like latest releases to talk about the podcast. And in doing so, have set myself a rather monumental task that I'm in no rush to complete, in all fairness. I'm going to try and get a full PAL Game Boy collection. And please note, I say PAL because there are some Japanese and American carts that are ludicrously expensive that I will probably never own.
Unboxed.
Yes, that's also a very important point, because who the hell wants to pay 70, 80 quid for a mediocre game just because it's in a box with a manual? I'd rather pay 3 quid for a cart.
And then storage is a lot easier as well.
It is, also, that's true. Well, I guess they'd look nicer in the box, but yeah. You have a very valid point.
I imagine with Game Boy games and just cardboard box games in general, I've never really got into collecting box games, but finding like mint ones is very difficult. And in the end, for me, it doesn't really matter. If I can play the game, then that's my main intention there.
Yeah.
I guess
that's the thing. Like, obviously, you find with a lot of people that we follow on Twitter, such as the Retro Hunter Ali from Retro Asylum, there tends to be a lot more Mega Drive and Master System games because they come in these plastic covers.
Yeah.
And it always kind of baffles me when you see DS games at a car boot sale. I'm like, what the fuck? Did you throw the cover out? It's a plastic box. Why would you do that? And I guess it's probably because people have lost the boxes because they keep the games in their DS wallet or whatever. But to look at Game Boy games and think, A, how popular the system was. It's still one of the biggest selling systems of all time.
Mm. And then, yeah.
And think, like, I kind of baffles me a little bit when I see the price of some of these retro games. And I mean, The Link to the Past is one of these titles I see on the SNES. It goes for like 40 quid sometimes. I'm just like, as I talked about last week, it's one of the biggest selling games of the Super Nintendo. There are literally fucking millions of that cart around.
Prices are so ridiculous.
And then for 40 quid, you see that. And I see it the same in like Link's Awakening now. Link's Awakening is a very pricey cart.
You know
what? For up to 20 quid.
Funny about it, I watched a video on the Happy Console Gamer, and he was talking about how these games now are owned by people who rebought them. They had them when they were kids, perhaps.
Yeah.
And then they sold them on. And now a lot of these people are reaching an age where they want to get that nostalgia kick again. And they go back and they buy them. And then all these copies of the games are now owned by these older collectors.
Yeah.
Who, to sell them on, will want a higher price. So people, the games are really cared about now. And there was a time when I think you'd find a lot of these games in bargain bins and no one cared, but everyone cares now, because there's such a massive group of collectors out there who have really just driven up the prices of all these games.
But I say this as someone who has a lot invested in games, and I do own things like Tombi and the Psychoden series, and even like Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Like, a few of these games are worth quite a bit.
Hmm.
And at the same time, I just kind of hope the market crumbles. Like, I just don't care. I just want to be able to play these games on the original console without some dickhead who doesn't give a shit about Final Fantasy games just kind of going, oh, it's a Final Fantasy game. It's worth at least 50 quid to push his glasses up. Like, it's why I don't buy every game I see at a flea market. It's why I don't tend to buy duplicate carts, even if I know it's ludicrously rare.
There's also things like certain consoles trend at certain times. Like I hear that Super Nintendo is a very popular system to collect for.
That's why I stopped collecting for it. I can't be asked to pay 40 quid for a subpar game.
A Mega Drive, for instance, is a lot more easier to collect for because the prices are a lot lower.
Again, I think this also relates to the fact that the games were kept in plastic carts and therefore tend to be a lot better nick than the Super Nintendo games. Mm. I think it's just the popularity of Nintendo systems. Because, I mean, look at GameCube games. For example, GameCube games, for the most part, are still quite pricey.
Yeah, I've been after a copy of Star Fox Assault for quite some time.
Yeah.
But I can't justify paying upwards of 20 quid for it.
Yeah. But see, like, that's you, though. Like, I would pay more. Like, if it was 20 quid, that wouldn't really matter to me. But, as I've said, I'm now going for the full Game Boy. There are a few titles that, short of me finding them in a wild or finding them in an eBay listing where they are of a reasonable price, I'm probably not going to own. As much as I would love to own Mega Man 5, and I have played it, a friend of mine once had it, and I'm kind of thinking in my back of my head, is he still going to have it? But he's not, and if he does, he'd probably know what it's worth anyways.
He will do now.
Yeah, exactly.
He listens to this podcast.
It's just, there's a few things like Trip World. Like, I'm not going to pay 150 quid for a copy of Trip World. Like, it's not worth it to me. Like, I would like a full Game Boy collection. Like, there are, I feel a lot of love for the Game Boy, and anytime I pick up a Game Boy game, even if it's a particularly bad Game Boy game, like I played soccer the other day, I just find real joy in playing Game Boy games. Like, I can't describe it. It's just the simplicity, as you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
This no interruption in the gameplay, this just ability to pick up and play something for half an hour.
You're literally picking it up.
Yeah, and you can complete it.
And it's also, for me, you know, there's a few Game Boy games that we were just having a look at some before the podcast, like Darkman. I had no idea there was a Darkman Game Boy game, you know. I'm a fan of the movie, and I get the feeling there's a lot of titles similar to that which are a little bit obscure that I don't even know exist.
Yeah, well, it's got a very large library.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of daunting thing.
And it's a library I'm not very familiar with. Of course, I've done my research on the bigger consoles, but the Game Boy, for me, is very much untried territory.
Well, it's kind of odd as well, because it is a console near and dear to my heart. Like, it is, as I've said, like, I was given a NES, but the Game Boy was my first console, like, that was actually mine. And so I played it, and as we've talked about previously as well, the idea back in the 90s when you were a kid of having like 6 or 7 games, that was a library for your Game Boy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Where obviously these games were released in droves and masses, and there are almost, I believe, 400 PAL releases for the Game Boy.
Now, have you chosen a particularly a console with a lot of games?
I have. I read on Eurogamer earlier after someone was saying like, hey, I want to collect a full PAL boxed collection of Game Boy games. And essentially everyone on the forum was trying to talk him out of it because it's such a tedious task to collect all of them boxed.
It's interesting, you mentioned forums there.
Yeah.
I think this is a great place to collect, you know, because you correspond with other collectors who are all trying to do the same thing as you. And I'm sure maybe that way you'll be able to get some deals.
I think I would.
Through collectors on forums, so maybe that's...
I think that's an option. I think obviously through our Twitter as well, I've kind of reached out on Facebook
Twitter,
to people.
Great thing, yeah.
And kind of said, like, hey, anyone that's got a Game Boy kicking around their attic, I'll take it off your hands with a few games. I've actually got a few people in work with us who've said, hey, I've got a few Game Boys with a few games.
You're going to end up with a lot of duplicates of games.
Yeah, but I'm kind of okay with that. Like, I'm going to swap a few. Admittedly, one or two of the 50-plus games I've got, I'm just thinking of which ones I've got back in the UK as well. I've got a couple of duplicates, and I've got a few that are US carts, even though I'm going for a full PAL collection. But to be honest, I'm not even really sure if I give a shit that it says USA on the cart rather than UK or NOE or Germany or whatever. Because at the end of the day, it's more about me wanting to experience the games and play the games. And some of the bootleg titles I've got are actually very, very interesting to me in a way I didn't think they would be when I picked them up. Mm-hmm. But
I wish you the best of luck with it, Matt.
Thank you, Thomas. But I'm also thinking of doing the undertaking of me trying to play one a day, not to completion.
Oh, here we go again.
Exactly. Tom laughs because I try and do these things, but I'm not going to do...
Or is it completing all the Mario Brothers games, reading a comic every day?
Reading a comic every
day. Well, graphic novel, sorry. Comic's fine. Yeah. I think anyone could read a comic every day.
And but... reviewing it, don't forget.
Yes.
But I don't think I'm going to do any write-up, maybe just kind of for my own personal sake of just kind of being able to recommend Game More Games, but I don't think I'm going to do a big hoo-ha of starting a blog.
Well, I think when you do something like this and you set on a task like to collect a whole collection of Game Boy games, then document it. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
But I'm not going to do what I usually do and kind of force myself into going, yeah, I'm going to do this every day.
No, because that takes the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then you probably will lose interest in collecting all the Game Boy games.
Exactly.
You're just overexposing yourself to the idea.
And I guess, you know? As well, like... it's given me, like, obviously I seem to be travelling a lot recently. Mm. And it's actually given me kind of the incentive to kind of go out and find these really cool places. Like, Subitron, I wouldn't have found unless I was just kind of like, oh, well, I'm in Vienna for a day.
I wonder if there's a book that exists, like a gaming travel guide.
There isn't. I think I'm going to start, like I said, I'm going to start writing these things up on Blast Process, especially for Vienna. I would like to talk about you, but there was nothing open when I was there. Mm. And I know Hardcore Gaming 101 actually has an article on New York and Paris.
Yeah.
So some of the other capital cities are already covered on there, which was great. I was looking at Paris earlier and thinking, oh, there's some really nice places in Paris to buy games. We also have our good friend Julian is moving to Japan, so I may actually ask him to pick up one or two Japanese carts for me that have taken my fancy in my brief foray into research.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see.
Well, as I say, yeah, go for it, Matt.
I'll try. So yeah, expect me to talk about a lot more Game Boy games on this podcast, I guess.
Do you know what we could say instead of Game On this week?
Game Boy
On.
Game Boy On. Anyways, that brings us to the end. We will say that, Thomas. We will.
We've spoiled the ending, or have we?
If you like the podcast, please go on to our Facebook and like us there. It's facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. Follow us on Twitter if you don't already. I assume most of you are. It's at TMAcast. You can look at our YouTube channel. We do have a new iMac. We will be doing some videos this week, hopefully, so we should get that back underway. What else have we got? iTunes. Please review us on iTunes. Please, please, please. And subscribe
on there as well.
We are running a competition at the moment.
How long are we running it for?
We are going to run it for the month of May. So it's going to be for the full of this month. I'll mention at the end.
Going to write a review in the month of May.
Yeah!
For a very musical podcast.
If you write a review on iTunes for us, you will be entered into a competition to win some cool stuff. We are giving away a t-shirt that was kindly donated by our friends at Pixel Pixel Tees and Games World Bod. You should check them out. And it's very nice. It's a white Pixel Tee. It was given away free in the month of April by them, so they gave us one to celebrate our birthday while they were celebrating theirs. Thank you very much, Adam. And we're going to kind of top it. If we can get up to 20 reviews, I will actually throw in a Game Boy and maybe a cart. Not one from my collection, but I've got some duplicates, so that'll be nice. And there will also be a 3 months of Xbox Live /PSN in there as well.
Wow, Matt, you are a generous man.
I try. So please do that. Recommend a friend as well, if you can get a friend to say to us on Twitter, hey, this person told me to come and listen to your podcast. I really like it. It's not for me, but thanks. Then
thanks anyway.
We'll enter you and them into the competition on top of the review, I think. Yeah.
Can't say fairer than that.
That's all you need to do. Yeah. Okay. So please enter our competition. We like you guys. I assume
like
you like us if you're listening to us. And until next week, guys, it's good night from me and good night from him. Game Boy on.
GameCube on.